This has been a pretty rough flu season for Hong Kong. How many of you guys have suffered flu this season? Okay, well, I'm going to shake your hands. Okay, but anyway, God bless you, and good to see you're feeling better and you could come to church today. But yeah, like 80-some-odd people have died, and I saw predictions up to 200 may die from flu here in Hong Kong, this city. Appreciate your prayers, Martin, for me, and let's offer another prayer and say, Father, we thank you for your word, and it's what we need to eat, to take in and nurture us daily to follow you, Jesus. And so, Holy Spirit, be pleased. Work in my heart, work in the hearts of my friends, young and old. In Christ's name, amen. Has anybody been watching the Australian Open? Any tennis friends out there? Hey, Bonnie, you've been watching it. Okay. But, you know, this one guy, he's going to be playing in the final. His name's Andy something. Andy Murray, right? Okay. So Andy's going to play Novak Djokovic for the final. And Andy Murray has really done something that's been unheard of in professional tennis. He has a woman coach, Emil Madurissimo. I think that's the way we say her name. Wow, that was really strange. But, you know, after watching Serena Williams win yesterday the women's final, I think if I was going to play tennis, and I want to know how to play tennis, I'd ask Serena Williams to teach me. Boys and girls, do you have any teachers you really like? Yeah, who has a teacher you like? Grace has a teacher she likes, and Hannah, and Sam, and you guys really have teachers you like? You're not kidding me. Really, David? What's her name?
Miss Wong.
Miss Wong. That sounds like a Chinese name. Yeah. Grace? I mean, Cindy? Ruth? Wow. Ruth is my daughter, teaches Grace painting. You're just trying to make me feel good. You made Ruth feel good, too. But I can remember in year five, I had a teacher named Mrs. Rich. And I can still see her. She had red hair and short, bright red hair. But she got me really enthusiastic about learning how to read. And that really opened a whole different world when reading became very, very pleasurable. And I couldn't saturate myself with enough books. Granted, they were a lot of the Hardy Boys novels, but still I enjoyed reading. And she also got me on the track of just a love for mathematics. I don't know if you know that about me, but I really like numbers and maths. And Mrs. Rich got it clicking with me. But also, when I think of really people who taught me, I like my dad. Now, what did my dad, did your dad ever teach you anything? Did I say yes? Did I hear a yes? I mean, did your dad teach you how to fly the plane? He can't teach you that yet, right? He might later on. But you know, what does dad teach you? Well, my dad was kind of a jack of all trades. He taught me how to maintain an automobile. You know, change the oil filter, the air filter, the spark plugs, check the timing. And this might be really space age talk to some of you. But how to maintain a car, he taught me that. He taught me how to grow a vegetable garden. You know, how to put seeds in the soil. How do you get these different things and put it in the ground, and then all of a sudden you got potatoes and you got green beans and tomatoes and carrots and squash and all those things. He taught me how to paint a house. You know, how to mix your paint, how to prepare your brushes, all this kind of stuff. You know, how to mow a lawn. He taught me all kinds of things, and you know, I really, really appreciate my dad as a teacher. He wasn't with me too long. When I was 15, if you've heard my story, he was called to heaven. He died of a heart attack in my arms. But Dad was a good teacher. I liked it. Now, what if Jesus was here? And he would teach you anything you wanted to know. It probably wouldn't be how to mow lawns. It probably wouldn't even be how to fly an airplane. Well, so I started to ask myself, what would I ask Jesus to teach me? Remember, he was excellent in food and beverage. And so those of you guys who are involved in the restaurant business, I think I'm kind of attached to that now. My two boys are in the West Coast and in California. But he knew how to feed people. to feed them with good food. Take a little bit of something and make it go a long ways, right? It was great, miraculous feeding of the 5,000. But he also knew how to make good drink, right? So out of water, he made the finest of wines. I'm not a connoisseur of wine. I know there's a few in our congregation who know their wines up and down and know what's a very fine wine. Well, can you imagine what Jesus' wine really tasted like? It's good stuff. So maybe Jesus could teach us how to do food, right, and drink. I'm sure Pete Wong, as a physician, and others of you that may be aspiring to be doctors in the future, you'd love to have that holy touch. Jesus, just teach me how to heal people, the worst cases, to heal them and to see them be raised up and can walk again, can see again, can hear again. Or maybe you want to cast out demons? Jesus, could you teach me how to do that? I mean, that was pretty good. You got this guy who had all these legion of demons in him, and you cast them out into the pigs. That guy, can you make me that kind of a spiritual powerhouse? Teach me how to do that. Well, in some ways, God does use you and I to bring healing through our prayers and even helping people overcome satanic oppression. And sometimes some of us are involved in people who are definitely possessed. But you know, if I could get one, I think I'd go for this one. You guys know this story, boys and girls? It's about Lazarus. He had two sisters, and they were so sad because Lazarus died. And Jesus wasn't around when he died, but he intentionally kept himself away, even though he had heard that Lazarus was sick. He waited because he knew that God wanted to be glorified in Lazarus' death. And how was he glorified? He just goes up to this tomb and he stands and he says, "Lazarus, come on out!" And he comes out. Still in his grave clothes. Now, that's what I like to be taught. You know, we can go around to every you know, I just had a friend who died this past week, and I'd like to be able to say, "Get up. Let's start all over." Well, the disciples were around Jesus, and they saw him do all these things. But this is the one thing that they asked him, and it's found in Luke 11:1. And they asked, let's try to read this together, can we? One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And that's referring to John the Baptist, a relative, actually, of Jesus, a cousin. "Teach us to pray." Now, this means that they must have been around hearing him pray. And he just finished. And when he just finished, they were so touched. They said, "Lord, can you teach us how to pray? We really want to learn how to do this." I've looked it up in scriptures. You can check me out. But when it comes to teach us, this is the only request that I see them making before Jesus. He's all the time teaching them. But the one where they come up and say, "Please teach us." So Jesus is going to give us an insight on what I call the basics of prayer. If any good golfer, if Tiger Woods was here, he could break down my golf swing. If Serena Williams was here, she could take care of my tennis swing. Basics that I need to have to become a good player. Well, Jesus is so close to Father God in his prayer life, and he invites you and I. Come on, let's grab a hold of this and learn how to pray. I want you to really experience something very special. I think you've heard me say, here's Jesus being asked by the disciples, "Teach us to pray." And would you do it? You know, John's disciples did that. Okay, how about you doing it? We're your followers, Jesus. And we noticed you go out and you pray all the time, and we've heard your prayers and we've seen them, and we want you to teach us. And so Jesus says, first of all, don't be man-focused. What does he mean by that? Don't be man-focused. Well, this is found in Matthew 6:5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by others. And truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. They love to be seen by others when they're praying. I'm aware you're here when I pray. Roberto this morning was aware you're here when we were praying. When he was praying, Martin, Ray, the elder who led us in morning prayer, he was aware that you're here. But we're not performing prayers for you. What are we doing? Well, instead, we're being Father God focused. Some of our songs even spoke of this. It was beautiful today. Thanks for the selection. But, now this is important. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And so I have closed the door when I start to pray. I'm in my closet when I start to pray with you, even though you're here. I've got to fight against that. And any worship leader or elder who prays in a congregational worship, they'd have to fight against it too. But by God's grace, we close the door, and now we are talking to Father God ourselves. As you are, perhaps not verbalizing out loud, but in your own heart, in your soul, you're talking to Father God, who sees you and rewards you. Now, what kind of reward do you get? I was riding on the bus the other day, and this little girl, I don't know how old she was. She must have been 5 to 6 years old. She just got out of gymnastics class. And she had a patch. And it says, gymnastic reward number 8. Something like that. How many of you take gymnastics? Anybody? Do you get these little patches? You know, I don't know if they give patches, but this little girl had these little round patches. Kind of like Boy Scouts thing, you know. But anyway, she got this patch, and she was happy, and she was smiling. And quite a very friendly little person. What kind of reward do you get when you pray and you go in the closet and pray to Father God? You get the reward of just being in His presence, you know. Yeah, it's simple stuff, you know. I love to work with my dad, whether it's on a car, on a house, or in the garden, you know, just to be there with him and see his smile and just hang out with him. That would be a great reward. Lord willing, in heaven, we'll do something. I don't think we'll work on cars. But anyway, Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, pray to your Father. Or Father God focus. I'm not praying because I want to hear people to watch me and to look at me. This is what it looks like. People in their closet. People in their closet praying to Father God focused. It happens on university campuses too today, guys. Don't give up. There's many people, when you go to a university, some of you will be there before you blink an eye. You're going to find, yeah, you're going to need a prayer huddle someday. And it's great to have guys there to pray with you through ever what you're going through. Young marrieds praying together. But you don't have to wait till you're married. You and your friend. On a hill, in a park, on a bench, even at the umbrellas in the plaza, you can pray. You can go in that closet. Well, whenever you pray, or with whomever you pray, focus on Father God and not the people around you that might be hearing. Okay, you don't do it to be heard by others. You do it with one heart, and we need each other to pray for one another, and to pray with one another. Do not use a lot of words. Jesus goes on. He says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Now that's a deep thought, but God knows everything about us. He knows everything about me. You know, I'm getting a little anxious at 2 o'clock. I'm supposed to play football with these guys from 2 to 4, and I've not been feeling well, and should I go out and play? And then Tom told me, if your blood pressure gets up, you'll die. And, you know, what am I going to do? And so God knows everything about me, but I got to use my sense and make right judgments on how hard I play. I know and everything, but A lot of these men don't know Christ yet, and I'm asking God to give open doors to share Christ with some of these guys. Some are young friends, some are old friends. But God knows everything I need, so I don't need to keep talking about him a lot and babbling. Does anybody come from a TM background, transcendental meditation? How about a Hare Krishna movement? Anybody do Hare Krishna? Don't have to raise your hands. I'm not proud of it, but God had me go through that in a period of my life when I was confused. And you'd say stuff over and over again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. It goes on and on and on. And you keep doing these things, and sometimes they give you mantras, a TM. The big one was Om, O-M, and people just go Om, Om. You sit there and you do this for about 24 hours, and then you get this state of nirvana, whatever. It's repetitious, the same stuff over and over again, many, many words. Boys and girls, have you ever seen guys on the train or wearing something like this? Maybe you have a grandma or granddad who are Buddhist in their thinking, and they have their own prayer beads, and I think they have certain mantras, some prayers which they have learned, and they keep repeating them over and over again. Now, I know many of you have come out of a Catholic background, and the rosary is held very dear by many Catholics. I think there's 59 beads on this. And you know what you do with it? I wasn't raised as a Catholic, so I had to look it up a little bit and check it out. And you make the sign of the cross and say the Apostles' Creed. That's pretty good. Then you say the Our Father. That's pretty good. What's that? That's what we pray right now. What we're going through is the Lord's Prayer. And then you say three Hail Marys. Hold on. Hail Marys? I'll let you look it up, figure that one out. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, who were from the beginning, now, forevermore. That's great. I like that one. Announce the first mystery. The first mystery. Okay, then you got to unpack that a little bit. And that also includes the coronation of Mary as Queen Mother of Heaven. We Protestants don't teach that. And we don't incorporate that into our prayer life. Those of you who have come out of Catholic tradition, you know what I'm getting at. Scriptures do not teach us, but Jesus teaches us something. It gets quite complicated, actually, and all these mysteries and stuff. I won't get into that anymore. But Jesus is not complicated, all right? He is not complicated. He says, look, focus on Father God and do what? Do not use a lot of words. You don't need to use a lot of words when you pray. Just tell him what's in your heart, you know, and you go to him. But he does give us a manner, therefore, to pray. And so I don't think our Catholic friends are totally missing the boat. They mixed in a lot of stuff which I think are wrong regarding their theology of Mary in particular. And some of their mysteries are not biblical. But in this manner, therefore, pray. I don't think God is saying, memorize this and pray this 10 times a day. I think he's giving us a manner on how to pray, and it's caught within what we call the Lord's Prayer, the prayer the Lord taught his disciples. Okay, let's take a stretch. Let's all stand up, and we'll pray this together. We'll recite it together. Okay, let's all stand up, and we'll do this together. Right? There we go. Stretch those arms. Okay, reach to the heavens. That's where our Father is, okay? Our Father in heaven. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Boys and girls, I don't know if you've memorized this or not, but you can do it, okay? Go for it. It's found in Matthew 6. I think this is about, what verse is that? But it's on down a little passage there in Matthew 6. You'll see it in our text today is 5 through 15. But memorize this prayer if you haven't already, and that can get you started. Now, The Holy Spirit has been given to all of us, young and old. This is the age of the new covenant. And so your prayers as a young person are just as important and as a teenager as older people. We all have the same spirit. Okay, this manner, what does it embrace? Martin, in his prayer, talked about it a bit. God's honor, God's kingdom, God's provision, God's forgiveness, and God's power. So when I try to look at my prayer life and I'm trying to see, am I being too me-centered in my prayers? Am I just asking God to do something, to change something, to give me, bless me? Well, that's part of it, but it's not the whole part. And Jesus knows that. And so Jesus wants to help you and I as his child, as his brother, in because of his shed blood, he's brought us into the family of God. He wants you and I to know how to talk to Father God. I love my Father a lot, but whenever I was a kid and I prayed this, I could not get it. How could God the Father be greater than my Father? I mean, you guys have got some good fathers out there. For the most part, I think many of the people, even our friends who don't know Jesus yet, they're trying to be good dads. But God the Father, He loved us so much, He gave Jesus the Son who died on the cross so that I could then become a child of God. And He promises to take me from this planet Earth to the next Earth in heaven, to be with Him and to live and enjoy Him forever and ever. This is our Father. It's not just my Father, it's our Father. God's honor is what it starts off with. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father, okay? I look at everybody's face when I stand up here. I get to see everybody's face. I could call out, you know, it's Belle's father, he's Camille's father, he's Nathan's father, he's Jean's father, he's Esther's father, he's everybody's father. He's not just mine. But he's also the Father God of all Japanese Christians, including our brother Goto, who I think was killed yesterday by ISIS. We've been praying for him. He's the Father of all Christians throughout the histories and to come and presently. All of us at Hong Kong and China throughout the world. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, if you want to get a good view of heaven, the best place is to read the book of Revelation. Now, remember, I didn't put the S there. There's only one revelation. It's the revelation of Christ in His supreme glory. And you cannot read that book and not be overwhelmed when you see the 24 elders throw down their crowns, bowing before Jesus, crying out, holy, holy, holies. The seraphim and the cherubim giving Him praise and glory. All the multitudes and hosts of heaven praising Him and worshiping Him. Angels, as well as all the believers who have joined Him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. There's no name like the name of Jesus. And we sang about that really great today. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now this shouldn't be as confusing, but sometimes it is, because the realization of God's kingdom on earth is just not happening right now, right? We don't see things getting too much better. But yet don't be too hard on the church, okay? There is church in Hong Kong. There is the people of God. There's a collecting, the called out ones who've come to God as through faith in Christ. We're here in Hong Kong, and we're here all over the world, and we are the salt and light, and somehow God's using us to better society, as well as to offer the message of forgiveness of sin and eternal life. But your will be done. This is where I want you to look at kingdom and will. So I read a passage of Scripture, and I'm convicted. I've not been in self-control. I've been easily angered. And I haven't said kind words, and I haven't been gentle. So what do I do? When I think of kingdom, I worship God because what? He is the one. He is the kind and just and merciful God. Yes, He does have a righteous anger, but the anger of God doesn't bring about the righteousness which the anger of man doesn't bring about the righteousness which God requires. His anger is good stuff. My anger is not. It's too selfish. But what I'm getting at is I worship God for who he is, the opposite of being totally self-controlled, of being a person who only would do good and kind and gentle things as seen in the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked the face of the earth. But then I say, your kingdom come, your will be done in this person's, this James. I got to have a kingdom fix because the kingdom's out of whack here. And you know, it's not only just me, but it's more people around me. It's in my family. It's in the whole of DBICC. It's in the whole of the DB, all the Christians of Hong Kong. Oh God, please make us a more gentle and caring people who are not easily angered. So I'm not thinking about, you know, come on down with the horses and the chariots and let's put up shop, you know. That is going to happen. We're going to see the manifest glory of God in all his glory. But my heart needs some kingdom work. And I think if you agree with me, yours does too. And so when you are spoken of in your scriptures, when you're in the closet by yourself and God says, boom, nail that gossip. Boom, nail that anger. Boom, nail that coveting. Nail that lust. Nail that whatever. You know what? That's kingdom stuff. It's time to go to pray. Do kingdom work in my heart, God. And you know, bless my family, help my wife, my children, not to be a people who are easily angered, not to be a people who do this, do that. Your will be done. Your kingdom come in my family's heart. And then I branch out and I start to pray for DBICC family. And then you can go on and pray for all kinds of things. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, God's provision. Now, most of us do a pretty good job on this. Give us this day our daily bread. I mean, we don't do such a good job. I think most of us pray before we eat, and we're thanking God, this is for your provision, you know. If you didn't give us good health, and daddy and mommy jobs, you know, we wouldn't have anything to eat. And then when you lose your job, boy, you really get humbled and you start to pray much more fervently, right? Oh God, please, please have mercy on my family. Give us this day our daily bread. Now we're on the flip side. We're in that top 6%, if you will, of the world in financial ability. Most of us. Even those who are on the lowest end in this room, I can assure you, you're still in the top 10-12%. Okay? As compared to world poverty. And so it's very easy for us not to think about praying and asking God for daily bread. You know, it just comes, I deserve it. You know, I'm alive, so I should have a Subway sandwich for me anytime I want it, or a rice box. Or I can go to the Fusion or Welcome or wherever, and I always get an apple, an orange, banana, you know. No, give us this day our daily bread. God, thank you for health. Thank you for blessing my physical needs. What I like about this is God's forgiveness. The Lord Prayer says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Sometimes you'll see that word translated sin. And that's what it's getting at. And forgive us our debts. So I've got this physical need daily to have some bread, something to eat. And I've got this spiritual need daily to be forgiven. And that's why it's good for you and I psychologically and emotionally to go quickly with confession and say, please forgive me. And it's why it's good for you and I to do what? To forgive others. Because the most I find that in my experience, most people who are dealing with depression, who are angry at other people, is because they just will not forgive them. And then they think, well, I've been so bad myself, how could God ever forgive me? And so they believe this lie that they've done so much, you never have done enough bad, that God is not sitting there and saying, come. Now, do we keep sinning that his grace will abound? And Paul says clearly in Scripture, no. But I want to assure you, each brother and sister, man and woman, boy and girl, everybody here today, there's nothing you can do that's too terrible that you can't come and run into God and ask for forgiveness. And then we need to forgive other people. So God's forgiveness. Basic for life. Good Chinese meal. That's what we need. Maybe some bread. Okay. We need the basics for life. Okay. We need food. And I think when it comes to this provision part, we pray for general health too. Needs God to bless our surgeries, our medical care and all that. But the spiritual life, you know, asking God daily for forgiveness. Because Jesus says, you know, he goes on to say after the prayer and he talks to people, if you don't forgive, you know, you don't have a part with me. Because that's the heart of God, is he gave his son. So his son would provide the forgiveness that you and I need so we can be that complete, holy, and pure people and live with God forever. So ask God daily for forgiveness because it's important for our future and for our heart to be happy. There'll be a song in our heart. When you know you are truly forgiven by the Almighty, whose standards are much more higher than any person on earth could ever have, you are truly accepted in Him, by Him through faith in Christ. He loves you. He's forgiven you for everything you've done in the past, you'll do in the future. Nothing's going to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. When you know that, and you're forgiving other people by His power and His Spirit, you are going to have a song in your heart. In life, no matter what it throws at you, you can still have a song of peace and joy in your heart, in my heart. God's power. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Sometimes the translation goes from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay. You and I are tempted to live prayerless lives. You and I are tempted not to do the will of God. You and I are tempted not to be concerned about the kingdom of God. You and I are tempted not to see that it's God who provides for us, and so we don't talk to Him about our daily bread. You and I are tempted not to ask for forgiveness. I'm just not ready yet. I just got to take some more time to work through this thing. You and I are tempted to not do the Father's will. But He says, and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, by Your power, work in me so that I will be a praying person. That I will be a, you know, we've been going through the book of Acts. I will be a person who opens my mouth and talks about Jesus. Maybe I won't do it as great as Paul does, you know. But yeah, make me a witness for You. I need Your power. So if you need more self-control in your life, if you need more, fixation on financial prosperity. You need to be freed from that. You know, just talk to God about this. Give me Your power. Yeah, I want that power to raise people from the dead like Lazarus and cast out demons, that kind of stuff. Well, some of us have opportunity to do that kind of thing, but all of us need the power of God daily. Okay, just about through, guys. So deliver me from my evil heart. If you don't know how bad your heart is, parents, you can take this and have this as a devotion this afternoon or sometime with your child. Just Mark 7, when it talks about what defiles a person, and four times he's talking about the problem is it comes from our heart. It's from within. So deliver me from my evil heart. Okay, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A great ending to the Lord's Prayer. Jesus wants His people. You're His people, aren't you? Yeah. Jesus wants us, His people. He wants you and I, His people. He wants the Buckner family, the Young family, the Ray family, the Wong family, the Wallace family, et cetera, et cetera. Jeanette, the family, the Robinson family, the Crawfords. It goes on and on. The Lerms, you know, even the Masdorf family. He wants us all. To do what? To be devoted to prayer. Now, my time with you is short, and by that I don't mean my lifespan, okay? It won't be too many years, and you'll blink an eye, and Pastor James will be history for DB. He'll be going back to U.S. and all that. It's not happening this week, so don't get upset. But what I'm saying is, what will DBICC be known as? A loving church, I like that. A church that proclaims the gospel, that Jesus saves. It's not by works. It's by through faith in the perfect life of Christ. Yeah. But I also hope they'll be known as what? Devoted to the fellowship. Devoted to the Word of God. And devoted to prayer. Jesus wants DBICC. He wants my family. He wants me. He wants you to be devoted to prayer. Okay, prayer exam. Do I and my family pray in the manner the Lord taught his disciples? Well, I'm your pastor guy, right? And I can tell you it's not the last couple of years that this has really been getting at me. To pray as the Lord taught his disciples. I didn't do that. I generally just go to him, right? I might say a few things, you know, about his character, his nature, his being, and then I'll jump right into my request. You know, heal this person, heal this marriage, you know, get this guy a job, you know, my family has this need, you know. But I don't think about honoring him. I don't think about his kingdom. And the confession part. Well, your exam. Do I and my family, do we pray in the manner the Lord taught his disciples? Well, I think you'd probably get an A+ in God's provision if you took the exam. Most of you guys are pretty quick to confess sin to one another and to rejoice in your forgiveness in Christ. Remember, if you confess your sins, he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, right? And so you go right to him. You're not going to pretend. You're going to really, you know, I blew it. Honey, I'm sorry I got mad. Please forgive me. And as well, you talk to Jesus and say, please, I want to be a more gentle and understanding in my home, and talk lovingly to my wife, my daughter, so help me. God's provision. I know, God, that you give me this food I'm eating. Okay, we do all right. We do all right. And we know we give him praise and thanks for those things. But it's in that last bit, as we forgive our debtors. You know, you probably have some work to do there. I know I do. Am I good at forgiving? Okay. God's honor. Again, am I honoring him for who he is? How is God's kingdom talked about in my family prayers? And his power to work in me, to make me more like Christ, to make me a better servant of Christ, as well as for my family to be more like Christ, to be better servants of Christ. And then for our church family, only you can give yourself this exam. But teach us, O Lord. It's my prayer for you and for me. For old and young, to honor Father God, to seek his kingdom, to daily seek his provision of bread, to daily seek his forgiveness, and to seek his power of deliverance. Mom and Dad, this might be something you'd be interested in. William Egger has a new book, A Transforming Vision, and it's an e-book you can get as well at Amazon.com. But it says, The Lord's Prayer as a Lens for Life. The Lord's Prayer as a Lens for Life. It's good reading. I'm in the midst of it right now. It's pretty good stuff. Martin Luther, an old reformer, said, You've never really prayed until you've prayed the Lord's Prayer. I think this is what he's getting at. And perhaps this is why others repeat it every day. Some people pray this prayer every day. But it's not the amount of words. Remember, Jesus said, not the amount of words. It's not be focused on God, the Father. It's not the amount of words, but, you know, pray in this manner. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, if anyone knows what prayer is going on in this perfection of heaven, you do, and you are being honored completely and perfectly by the host of heaven. And by your grace, we look forward to that day, and we also will see this and experience such perfect praying. And we know that your desire for us as individuals and for dads here, I pray, Lord, help them to pray with their kids and to pray with their wives in the manner that you taught. I thank you, God, that we do recognize our health, our work, all comes from you. All the blessings of living in DB, living in Hong Kong, in a prosperous city, the welfare of this city is in your hands. We thank you for blessing this place. Lord, I thank you for forgiveness daily from the way I fail, and I pray that I and my friends will not be slow to confess sin. Equally, may we be quick to forgive and extend forgiveness to those who sin against us. And sometimes it's not big sins, it's those little things that add up, and we just need to let go, Lord, and forgive them. If anyone's here this morning and you're having a hard time forgiving someone, just talk to God about it right now. Don't run from it. And so, Father, Holy Spirit's power, we look to you to give and to provide and to fill us afresh. We know Holy Spirit lives in us, but we need him to fill us afresh and make us a people who pray in the manner that the Lord Jesus teaches his disciples. And it's in his matchless name I do pray. Amen. So boys and girls, in Acts 2:42, we're told that the early church, when it first began, they were devoted to four things. One is the apostles' teaching, which is the gospel. We're devoted to that gospel. We don't change that. It stays perfect, right on target. Secondly, they're devoted to prayer. And then they're devoted to the fellowship. And that means one another. I mean, if you've got a problem, your problem is my problem. You know, some of us are more empathetic. Some of us have gifts of mercy, and they're right there to help us. But we're still, you know, we're a body. We're a community of faith. We're dedicated to each other. And the fourth one, it says, is the breaking of bread. That's what we're going to do here. And then afterwards, we're going to break some other bread in the cafeteria. I'm quite convinced that the early celebration of the Eucharist, if you will, the thanksgiving for what God did through his Son who gave his body and who shed his blood, was celebrated in a meal sort of surrounding. Real bread, real wine, and not little cups and stuff. But I'd like to ask Steve Torgerson, if you don't know Steve, he's a ordained guy in the E-Free background, real leader in the church. Steve, you come, and the elders, if you come, help me too, and we'll prepare the table. On the night that Christ was betrayed, you know Christ's best friend betrayed him? You know how he betrayed him? What did Judas do? You know that guy Judas, what did he do? How did he betray him? Did he get a hammer and hit Jesus on the head? What did he do? Yeah, but he did something. What do you kiss your mom and dad goodnight before you go to bed? You usually do, right? Well, that's why he betrayed him. Jesus went up and gave him a little kiss, and then the soldiers came and took him away. But on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body given for you. Such excruciating pain. Jesus was executed. Some bad executions going on in the Middle East right now. terrorists killing people. But it's quick and it's swift. Not so for your Lord and mine. It was an agonizing, slow breaking. His body given for you.
The Holy of Holies. And likewise, he took the cup.
And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. My blood poured out for the remission of sin. And every time we eat and drink from this table, we do so in remembrance of him. That's why we're dedicated to this. We're a church who celebrates this table. That's what makes you and I brothers and sisters forever and ever. Christ gave his body and gave his blood, and we celebrate that today. And if you know Jesus, I invite you to come down.